Now to women's volleyball, and the Badgers win over rival Nebraska last month, the UW clinching their first NCAA title in the program's history. And that is courtesy of the NCAA. Do you follow women's volleyball? How did you feel after the Badgers won it all? You have a line to UW-Madison women's volleyball team coach Kelly Sheffield, 800-642-1234. He is the 10th head coach in the history of the program, taking over in 2013. Coach Sheffield, welcome back to the Ideas Network, and congratulations.
Hey, thanks. I so appreciate you having me on here today.
Well, you've had a bit of distance, nearly a month now, since the team won the title. What moments from the championship are still going through your head, are really sticking with you?
So much.
I've got like everything?
Here's the deal. I've got 11-year-old daughter, Lexi, and just about every morning she wakes up and she goes to the TV and turns on DVR. And so we've got some match that has been playing about every morning. And so it's a constant reminder.
A constant reminder through your head. So if you're not watching, you're reviewing that footage, you have someone in your household who just has it on like background noise, I guess.
I just left for school 2 minutes ago, and I turned off the TV and ushered her out the door so she wouldn't miss the bus. Yeah, it's on every morning here.
What were the key factors in your win? What really made the difference?
You know, this is, obviously been a challenging year or two. COVID has obviously made it really tough on bringing teams together. It's a year ago, it was all about keeping everybody separate. And so you've got young players that were coming in, young freshmen or transfers that really didn't know the older players at all. And the challenges that makes for team building. So we had to find our way. We had to navigate our way through that. And this fall was different than the spring in that regard, and what we were able to do once vaccinations got accomplished and things like that. And so bringing together an older experienced group with a younger group, that took some time. We had to fight through some adversity with some injuries and things. But this was a collective effort. This was a total team effort. We had a lot of players that decided to come back for a fifth year, their COVID year that was been referred to. And that was a big part of it. And then our young players just developing as the season went on. And by the end of it, it was a team that was working in harmony very, very well.
As you bring together those young and old experience, two different camps there. I think it was setter Sydney Hilly who wrote this recent essay called My Words and talked about taking personality assessments, learning how teammates respond to certain types of communication, how to phrase things, especially in pressure moments. What have you learned about communication with the team?
Yeah, Sid, when she got here, she graduated from high school a semester early. That was something she wanted to do from a very early age, and got here, and we do these thing called the DISC assessment. And it's not necessarily personality. It's more, communication style and behavioral and leadership. And what you're wanting to do is in big moments, in stressful moments, how do you communicate in a way that's not just comfortable to you, but how do you communicate in a way to bring out the best in somebody else? And she went back and memorized every single person on how to do that, within 2 weeks of being here. And so I think that's one of the key things is, somebody in, when it's 15 to 15 in a fifth set for a national championship or something, telling me to calm down, that might be something that centers me. But and as a reminder, well, for somebody else, when they're in the battle, telling them to calm down at that point, they may want to punch you in the face. They're like, what do you mean calm down? I'm in my element right now. I'm fired up and ready to go. And so, learning what brings out the best in each other was something that we take seriously, that Sydney took very, very seriously. And we don't want a national championship with her ability to communicate.
That is very applicable to the world of work. You have to be able to work with your colleagues. They can take those skills and use them in their futures.
Oh, no doubt. My wife was a clinical pharmacist before getting here. She ran the Wright State University pharmacy curriculum, and she had all the people she was working with take this as well, and it was a game changer, she said, for how they worked with each other, how they communicated with one another.
Kelly Sheffield with us, head coach, UW-Madison women's volleyball team, has held the position for 9 years. You can join in. Do you follow women's volleyball? How do you feel about the championship title? 800-642-1234. A bit more here on communication, because I would imagine it's difficult to find words for your locker room speech to your team when you are so filled with emotions after a really critical game, whether it's pure joy, whether it's excitement, frustration, maybe disappointment. How do you take control of those emotions to ensure that you give the speech that's going to make a positive difference, like tomorrow and the next day?
It's a good question. It's not a question I get asked very often. It's a, I think it depends, going into the match, it's you're communicating in a way that hopefully gives them confidence and trying to keep things simple, trying to stay on message, on brand. You're trying to stay, in character, I think in coming out of a match, I don't think you want to get too high or too low too often. It's you can't have your team in an emotional roller coaster throughout the season. You just play too much, and so usually afterwards, it's pretty short, and it's, hey, let's get back and let's watch the film, because so many times our eyes lie to us in the heat of the moment, and so let's go back and let's get a plan. And but maintaining the critical thing is that no matter whether you win or lose, the important thing is you got to get better. And so that growth mindset is something that is very, very serious if you're trying to build your team and you believe in having a process and staying with that process. And so you've got to continue to find ways to be better, no matter what your record is, or no matter what the match that is already behind you. What happened with that?
Well, let's take a call now. Lisa is joining us from Reedsburg. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Good morning, and congratulations, Coach Sheffield, to you and the team. You had a spectacular season, and you couldn't have asked for a better ending. And my question for you is, in the first game in the national championship where Nebraska really came out firing and we looked a little nervous or a little bit flat, what do you do from a coaching standpoint to refocus the team and get the energy and the skills where they need to be so you don't get down and get behind?
Lisa, thank you.
Yeah, great morning, Lisa. Thank you. those are some minutes right there. And so you're either going to trust in yourself or you're not going to trust in yourself and your teammates in that moment. And that tests you. One of the things we talked about going in is that this match isn't going to be decided in the first hour. It's going to be decided in the second hour. And so if you're freaking out in the first 5 minutes, then you've created doubts and with everybody. And so you've just got to stay with it, even though those moments are really, really big. The fortunate thing is the Big Ten forces you to go through those at times. So we've been through those. We've been through matches where we've dominated out of the gate. There's moments that we'd been dominated out of the gate. We played Nebraska earlier in the year at our place, and they pounded us in the first set. I mean, they played about as perfect of a set as you can play. And we came back and won the next three. And so we'd done that before. And so I think that gives you confidence when you've done it before in against elite competition. And in our case, we've done it against the same opponents. And so it's, we were just jacked up. I mean, you know, you're playing in front of over 18,000 fans. It's a moment that you've waited for your entire life. And I just thought we were just, you know, we had a couple overpasses and we were just, you know, just a little bit, you know, hesitant on balls that were in the seams of, you know, I know this group and you just knew they'd eventually start working its way out once we kind of get it in the flow of the match. So big thing was, hey, let's not hit the fire alarm and everybody just go running in their separate direction. Let's stay together and find our rhythm.
18,000 fans, as you said, attended the finals. More than that, that was a record. How did that atmosphere compare to other high-intensity games you've coached?
You know, the Final Fours are typically a little bit I say Final Fours like it's, you know, a common thing, nonchalantly, but it's typically kind of a weird environment, right? I mean, it's, you know, like we play in front of 7,500 fans, sold out every night in the field house, and the energy and how loud that is crazy. But then you go on the road and you play places like Nebraska or Minnesota or Penn State or Illinois or Purdue or whoever. And it's really, really loud in there against you. But Final Four is typically the crowds are a lot bigger, but so many of the people there are just fans of the sport or coaches of the sport. And so you're in these, you know, big massive arenas, and there's not a lot of sound a lot of times, which is kind of eerie at first. but this year in the finals, you have the two biggest fan bases in our sport in the championship match. And so the majority of the fans were, were for a team and loudly for a team. And which is interesting. We've been to four of these Final Fours. The first one was in Seattle, and Washington was in the Final Four, and there's very few Badger fans. And so the first semifinal playing against Texas, it was pretty quiet in there until, you know, and the crowd thought, man, we've got a chance of upsetting the number one seed. And all these Washington fans are turning for us. And so it kind of felt like a Rocky movie. where – in the spring, we're playing in COVID, you know, and so you're in Omaha and there's only like 200 people in there. And so you're playing a Final Four, but the arena is pretty much empty. And that was a different feeling. Hmm. And then this past year, you know, against Nebraska, it was really, really loud in there because almost everybody in that arena had a vested interest in one of the two teams. So I guess my point is that year to year, it's usually kind of a majority crowd that's not rooting for a team. Mm-hmm. But each of our experiences have been pretty different.
UW women's volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield has led the Badgers to be one of the nation's elite programs, clinching their first NCAA championship last month. Have you seen the program change over the years? What questions do you have for the Badgers head coach? What is special about the 2021 team? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Coach Sheffield here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We have Badger women's volleyball head coach Kelly Sheffield here reflecting on going to those back-to-back Final Fours before winning the NCAA national title 3 weeks ago over Big Ten rival Nebraska. What will you remember about this moment, the long-awaited title? It's 800-642-1234. Coach Sheffield with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Mo now in Oconto. Hi, Mo. Go ahead.
Yes, congratulations to the Wisconsin women volleyball team. And I detect a Wisconsin accent, Coach Kelly. My question is, how did you start building the program to get the kind of players that you wanted to believe in the coming to Wisconsin and your coaching style that they could come here and be successful and win and build towards that national championship?
Thanks, Mo. I think this is, we stand on the shoulders of the people that have come before us. I really believe that. This had been a, you know, for the 5 years prior to us getting here, they'd been through kind of a little bit of a dry spell. But this had been a program that had been, that had won Big Ten titles, that had, you know, that had a great fan base. And so they kind of fell into kind of a tough place for some different reasons. But when I got here, the cupboard wasn't bare. I mean, there was some really good talent that was here, and there was talent that was coming in that was elite. Remember, this was Lauren Carlini, number one recruit in the country, that had already committed to come here. And, you know, we had to communicate with her and, build her confidence on what her plan was. But she decided to stay with her commitment and come. And we had some players here, and we just told them what our vision is, and we got to work. I mean, there's just no secret recipe. You got to put the work in. But throughout the recruiting process, it's, you know, we try to be honest with people and say, this is what it is. We're not going to sell you a bill of goods. This is what it is. And if you're wanting this, then jump in. Let's go. And if you're not, then go find another place that you're going to be happy. But it's, you know, I think we end up getting the kids that are great fits for our program and for this school. And we're a blue collar program. We try to outwork people, and because we believe that builds confidence. And at the end of the day, I want our players to be the most competent people on the planet. And so, I don't think there's a secret sauce. We just try to outwork people.
I would imagine, though, that this title and this elite program and its reputation goes a long way in recruiting. But I also want to talk about money. How do big wins like the NCAA title, how does that affect the amount of funding your program receives?
I'm not sure. Those are probably some questions to people that are above me. I think one of the things that is really critical is that you're in alignment with the administration, that mm-hmm. that their goals and our goals are in alignment. They're the same. And from the very first time that I sat down in Barry Alvarez's home office with a couple of his other ADs, it was clear that what their goals were for the players and their experience and where we wanted to be as a program was the same as is what I wanted and what I'd be telling the recruits. And so when that happens, when you have that alignment, to me, that's when it starts getting really fun.
Kelly Sheffield, head coach of UW-Madison's women's volleyball team. Let's take another call. Julia is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Julia.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. What would you like to say?
Hey, coach, congrats on the win. It was super fun to watch. I'm wondering about your decision-making process when it comes time to call a challenge, to use one of your challenges. In that short amount of time, do you get to watch any replays or consult with your other coaches or players? Like, what goes into that decision-making process? And also, how do you feel about the use of the challenge in the sport in general? Thanks.
Man, great questions. I love the challenges. It's it lowers my blood temperature. You know, I'm not fired up about what I perceive are bad calls anymore. It's just, hey, let's just challenge it. And it keeps me a little bit more even keeled than probably what I would be naturally. That what goes into it, man, so much, because you have maybe 20 or 30 seconds at max to make a decision. And so, you know, where you are in the match, how many of those challenges do you have? How certain do you feel about what you or your staff or the bench saw or the players out there on the court? There's been times where we've taken the fans' advice and they've seen something. And then you're kind of going into account of, all right, how many cameras are up? Do we think those cameras are going to pick those things up? There's a ton in a very small period of time. All I know is that instant replay has made our sport better. We should be getting better cameras this year, and so we're hoping that we continue to head in the right direction.
Julia, thank you. Some other changes on the horizon to the sport. You've been a real advocate for five-year player eligibility. Why is that?
Oh, my goodness. To me, well, football gets 4 1/3 a year, basically. They can play four games and then still keep a red shirt year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why they're the only sport that gets to do that. There has to be a Title IX issue in there somewhere. But, you know, it's you get away from red shirting. You get away from medical, red shirting or waivers, and just say, hey, we're going to give every player 5 years to play 5 years, and they get grad school paid for, so you don't have grad school debt. To me, this would have a greater impact on more people than the name, image, and likeness does. I just think it's something that we should be offering people as a full degree, undergraduate and a graduate degree. Give them 5 years to play, because a lot of them are in there for 5 years anyway, so might as well pay for grad school and let them play all 5 years. To me, it's a no-brainer.
COVID was an accidental sort of situation that came up. Would that be a teachable moment here?
Well, exactly. I mean, we've got to, the players that were in college are uh-huh. going to get that extra year. And I think one of the things we're seeing in sports is how high of a level the games are being played right now across the board in a lot of these sports, because it's more experience. So it's a better product. But it's also, you know, I look at players like Lauren Barnes and Sidney Hilly. These guys are going to leave Wisconsin with a graduate degree. What an incredible gift, debt-free. For those guys to be able to do that. We ought to be extending this more than just the players that are going through this in COVID.
Coach Sheffield, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kelly Sheffield, head coach of UW-Madison's women's volleyball team. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.